Sam.
Hello, Kate.
Happy January something or other.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Because it's the year 2022.
And a song lyric by...
The Swift.
Yes.
Hello, ladies and lovelies and everyone in betweensies listening to The Swift Talk.
We are coming to you from WSCA Radio, an independent radio station that's so much cooler than yours.
Beautiful downtown Portsmouth.
We are The Swift Talk. I'm Kate, the Swifty.
Not so swift Sam, the Sam that's not so swift.
And we're here with producer Jason.
Good morning, everyone.
Who we got to meet? Your whole family.
You met some of my family, not my whole family, but...
We're getting there.
The select ones that showed up on Christmas Eve. Yes, you did.
Very true.
Most importantly, we met Kenny G.
Met Kenny G, the Frenchie Bulldoggy.
Yes, you did.
We're big Kenny G fans now.
Definitely.
He is a ladies' man.
Lives up to his name. So, Sam, what are you drinking today?
I'm drinking a little bit of that watermelon from Liquid IV.
I've got acai berry.
And we got strawberry over on this side. Oh, yeah.
All the berries and the melon.
Yeah. They're like, new flavor. And I was like, that's not new, Liquid IV. We've already drank that on the Swift Talk. I think about, like, texting back to their promotional text that they send me. I'm pretty close.
We're going to start getting all, like, the very much test flavors. Like, send them peanut butter. Maybe they'll like peanut butter.
Like, all right, sure. Let's try it. Shake that up. Because you just never know what you can find on the other side of your door.
Ah, is that today's song?
That is today's song. Today we're going back into Fearless, our second album.
All right.
Grammy Award winning. First re-released.
So we're going back to 2008.
Well, I mean, kind of. We're going into 2021 because the song was re-released in 2021. And as you know, we only listen to Taylor's version.
All right, that's true. This is something I know, but I'm very much unaware of the majority of the time because every time I hear these songs, I think it's Taylor's version because she's singing it. But yes, it is important that we're supporting.
But she doesn't own it.
Yes, that's what, it's important that we support the re-releases. Three Melises.
Okay. So we're going to hit pause and we're going to play Other Side of the Door. You should off Fearless. You should as well. And we'll be back to chat about it.
Knock, knock, knock.
Oh, no.
Who's that on the other side of the door? Conversation. That's what's up.
Oh, God. Wow. New year, bad jokes.
New year, new jokes, new conversation.
All right.
So, new stutter moments.
Let's start off on first listen. Haven't gotten into it. Haven't bullied you into liking it yet. What do we think?
This song is making me think of a lot of other songs. Both in composition and in lyrical content and in imagery. Composition-wise, the three of us all agree that this sounds like Sixth Avenue Heartache by... Jacob Dylan and the Wallflowers. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
I think the chord progression is what got me.
Mm-hmm.
Not the lyrics.
Well, yes, composition wise, it was the chords. It was definitely.
Yeah. It seemed to bounce the same way as that song did with this very similar chord progression.
Yeah. I can hear a little like that missing slide guitar in this. I think lyric wise, something that I'm definitely getting is one. Images of the movie Say Anything, and I'm looking at a man in a trench coat holding a boombox over his head playing Peter Gabriel.
Okay.
Very much getting
that. That's what she wants. That's the outcome she is looking for in this song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to say, message-wise, this might be the most selfish love song I've ever heard her sing.
Yeah.
Like... Insanity.
Oh, you're coming for it today.
Insanity. I had no agenda, but right now hearing this song, you get what you get in this grab bag of fun that is Sam Bennett's brain. And it is red light. Stop this madness, Taylor. Stop this behavior. This is toxic. What are you doing? I tell you to leave because what I really want you to do is beg to come back.
I think that's a little harsh.
I think it's a little on the nose with what she says.
Okay.
I said leave, but baby, all I want is you to stand outside my window, throwing pebbles, screaming, I'm in love with you. Wait there in the pouring rain, come back for more, and you don't leave because I know all I need is on the other side of the door. All I need is a begging, soaking wet lover to be like, take me back.
She wants something almost like that Say Anything movie where the guy's standing with the boombox over his head.
Because women have been conditioned to think that that is how it works. You get into a fight and then the man comes back, holds a boombox over his head, and begs for you back.
And which lover of hers is doing this?
We don't know.
Do we want to know? I feel like this is best left. Like,
I think this doesn't happen. She's saying this is what she wants when she says, like, I told you to go, but I didn't mean it.
And I think,
and they went, and she's like, oh.
I think if this was an actual situation for somebody that she was being inspired about, people would riot. They'd be like, what are you doing,
you
Taylor?
You are really, like, going into this. Like, no, it's just like sometimes in a fit of anger, you say something that you don't necessarily mean because you're mad and you use your words to wound, but you come out of it. You take a breath and you're like, I didn't actually mean that. Like, I wanted you to fight for me when I said leave and you didn't. And I didn't communicate that well. Like, I'm a mess. I get it. Like, I don't think this is as psycho as you're making us out to be. She's not boiling a bunny over here.
This isn't dangerous, lethal attraction or anything like that. This is not right.
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe there. I just expected it. Really, the song, but you are heated.
I'm trying to. There's this. Trying to think of it. All I can see right now, there's a Zach Braff movie I want to say. I'm pretty sure it's Zach Braff. And three quarters through, he cheats on his partner. He's trying to get back together, and she's throwing stuff out of the apartment. Like, there's the couch and stuff. Or no, he's on the stairwell, and he's knocking on the door for her to open up the door, and she won't. And so the end of the movie is the shows the days of him sitting outside, like, waiting for her to open the door. And, like, a neighbor comes up with a glass of water from a hose next door, and, like, there's, like, someone gives him, like, a half a sandwich, and, like, he's just waiting for a week outside this door to, like, apologize, to, like, have her let him back in because he's on the other side of the door. And the movie ends with finally she opens the door and invites him inside.
You're not ranting about that.
Because when I saw that that scene in that film, I was like, ugh, don't let him back in. This is dumb. Like, get yourself together, compose yourself, but don't break down that. This is not desirable.
So, listeners, I think you should know that Sam is very black and white on things.
Not on things, but on logic sometimes.
I don't know I've ever found something that you're not black or white on.
Purple. Red.
Are all colors.
Yes. I'm not black and white on that. Okay. What do you want to get into on this? You're hearing my first take on this, but do you want to deep dive into, like,
it feels to me like this hits a little close to home.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Was this her second album coming into pop?
This is her last song on her second album. And so there's actually a theory. I can't remember if this is a Reddit theory or a TikTok theory. There's a lot of Taylor content in my brain these days. But that the last song of her album is kind of a foreshadow for what the next album will feel like. And this is a little more rocky, a little more poppy, a little more Speak Now, which we did better than Revenge from last week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think back to New Year's Day, that was off Reputation, which is usually like a harder, heavier beat. And that was like light and flowy and kind of brought in the Lover era. So they think that Taylor starts with her song, her last song, to be like, here's where I'm going.
Was the rest of this album more country?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This one, I think, several country awards. It's very much country radio. This is where Love Story came from.
Was this song popular?
It was. I don't think so. I don't think this was a song that got really pushed out, because there's a lot of other big songs on this album.
Yeah, this was not one of the...
It's not a single.
This is not a single.
And so it's not an All Too Well where the fans found it, loved it, and built it into something. It's just a song that people like. It's not rated as the worst track on Fearless, like Stay, Stay, Stay is on Red. I'm not kidding.
Aye, aye, aye.
But yeah, it's an interesting theory of mine that, or of the Swifties, but to go, and I've actually done this, and I listened to the last song of her albums, and the only one that where it doesn't really match up is 89, and that's because we actually think she shelved the album she was going to do, the concept, or maybe it was fully recorded, we'll probably never know, to do Reputation, because that felt more like where she needed to be. As you heard about this week at Portsmouth Feed while I was wrapping Christmas gifts.
Very much so, very much so. I do have to say, if that is, so was this, can I ask this, do we know if it was the end track on both the re-release and the original publishing?
Well, so the re-release had vault tracks added to it.
Right, right, right. You were telling me this was a vault track.
This is not a vault track.
This is not a vault track.
This is an original on Fearless last out. But I think it might have been on the deluxe edition.
Yeah, I was trying to look through and see. I wasn't trying to get like be like a gotcha, but I was kind of remembering you saying something along those lines of like, this is a vault. This could have been a vault
song.
Are
you trying to out-Swifty me? Is that what's happening here? Because I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead. I'll give you the head start.
You're wrong.
All right.
Yeah.
Not the first time I've been told I've been wrong.
Yeah, so The Other Side of the Door was her last one on, I think, the deluxe edition of Fearless.
Okay.
Which the Swifties all go for. We, you know, you want it all.
Right.
And then, hypothetically, then came Today Was a Fairy Tale, but that doesn't really fit into the Fearless original release. It's in the re-record and all of that, but it's not part of the Fearless track list.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Grammy award-winning song.
There was a line that we were pseudo-off air right before we got back on the mics. We're trying to discuss and debate, which is the little black dress.
Uh-huh. Which I think brings you back to Tim McGraw, because she's talking about standing there in her little white dress.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's got a little black dress. She's a little older.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the song is kind of like a continuation. Like, you got to Tim McGraw, and I hope you think of me, and it's this love you lost. And now she's like, you should have fought for me.
Yeah, Tim McGraw.
Well, no, I mean, not Tim McGraw. You know that.
So, okay. The fighting for someone. Yeah. I'm down for it. I've done it. I understand that.
Uh-huh.
You find something that really, it's what you connect with. It's what you love. It's what you want. You fight for it.
Uh-huh.
I get it. Wrong or right, you fight for it.
Uh-huh.
It seems like this song, though, doesn't encourage that. It encourages that times infinity of always be, even when I'm setting you up. Because look, you know, and I said, this time I've had enough, and you've called 100 times, but I'm not picking up because I'm so mad. I might tell you that it's over, but if you look a little bit closer, I'm so angry and so frustrated with you that I'm on the verge of breaking us up forever. But that just really means I want you to just fight a little harder. Just fight a little harder for me. Just be a little more invested. That's what?
I feel like that's okay. Sam, let's talk about that. You're in this moment. You're really, really mad at someone. They have hurt you. You are in a fight. You know that you need to be like, nope, I am not taking your call anymore. I'm not texting you back. I'm blocking your number. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just that little part of you that just can't quite do that. Because you're like, well, what if they learned from this fight? I still have these feelings. These feelings don't go away. Like, I just want them to, like, prove to me that they've changed. I want them to prove to me they've heard what I am saying and that they have changed. So I'm going to hope for this. I'm going to say no. I'm going to put my boundaries up. But I'm going to hope that you hear me and that you understand what I've asked you to do and you've done it. You can't relate to that?
Yes, Kate, I can relate to that exact phrase in the microcosm of my love life. Yes, I can relate to that.
Yet I sure can.
I will refer you to the start of the second verse. Me and my stupid pride are sitting here alone, going through the photographs, staring at the phone.
Yeah.
If you're setting up this boundary, you can't be upset when that person doesn't come running back and learning a lesson, because sometimes a boundary is a concrete wall, and even if they haven't bashed their head into it yet 1,000 times, they still might not have that neuron that's clicked to be like, oh, shoot, I made the mistake. Oh, I see what I did. And then half the time it's, oh, well, I learned that lesson. And they walk away with their brain injury. Sometimes that's the best you can hope for. It can't be them holding the boombox going, I'm sorry. I'm also dying. I'm sorry. Take me back. I learned everything. I learned how to love. I grew a heart today. That doesn't always happen.
It does sometimes.
I think it's
sometimes people change. Sometimes people realize what they've lost when they lost it.
We're gonna keep repeating that sound for 20 minutes.
Jason's gonna edit that right out.
Sometimes they do, and they're usually the ones that are like that were the ones invested in it that realize like, shoot, yeah, you know, like this is why I wanted you to fight, because I realized it was worth it. It's not the person who's like, I should have fought harder. Sometimes the person that fought the hardest realizes, oh, this wasn't worth it.
See, I think that's so cynical, because sometimes I think this goes right back to the you never know what you had until you lost it.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, look at me a year and a half ago when I had a relationship end, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be okay. It's going to take me a couple weeks, and then weeks turn into a month. I'm like, don't I miss this. And then it just like started wrecking me. Like I realized what it was, and I was second-guessing myself, like, should I have fought harder? Should I have not fought harder? Should I have done this? Should I have done that? And then months and months and months later, it's like, oh, yeah, but maybe this wasn't the best one. I was giving it more value than it might have been worth.
You were.
Yeah. I was definitely clinging on to something that was a shore port in a storm, and it was a lily pad moment. It was a lily pad moment.
I love
moment.
A lily pad moment.
It wasn't the most it's so essentially, you're drowning, Jason. And you're like, oh, God, I need something to hold on to. And this little lily pad comes along. And it's enough to get you out of the water. It's not very buoyant, but it's enough that you're getting a little bit of air. And it's going to help you get to the next solid landmark. It might be another lily pad on the way, but it might be land. It's just enough to get you out of water and realize, okay, this is what it's like to breathe air. My muscles aren't screaming at me right now, but I still am in troubled area. This is according to Kate. This is what a lily pad is.
A lily pad moment is like unsteady, more steady, but still unsteady ground. So it's not someplace you're going to hang out in your life, but it's someplace where you just kind of, you perch for a minute.
Is it higher ground? Is
that holy ground.
Holy ground.
You're trying to get to the holy ground. But I appreciate the connection there.
More of the higher ground type of guy myself, whether it's Stevie or the Chili Peppers.
I think you are looking at this as somebody who, maybe this is one of those moments where you're looking at this from the male perspective and I'm coming from the female perspective.
That could be. This is how, like, we identify.
Are you kidding me? I tried so hard and it still wasn't good enough. When I'm like, I just want you to hear me and understand why you're wrong.
Okay. Okay. And
that's where I think Taylor's coming from. And you're like, no, no, no. This is selfish and self-centered and unacceptable.
I think this is a good conversation piece for us, because I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm not Linkin Park. I tried so hard and got so far, and in the end, nothing really matters.
I mean, you do like to live in that sometimes.
I don't like to live in that. It's just wherever the blankets are.
I almost spit my coffee out. You can't do that to me.
I'm looking at this song. I didn't come in wanting to hate it. I didn't come in judging it, but like these.
I don't think you come into Taylor Swift songs wanting to hate it. I think you get to the first like part of it where she is an indecisive female and you're frustrated because you are surrounded by indecisive females, both in your professional life and your personal life, and your friendships.
Very much so.
You have built a tribe. So. Indecisive females.
Very much sure. Very much sure. Okay, let's look at this from the male Sam Bennett male perspective version of this.
Oh, we have
honesty that. is another thing for me that it's been pounded into my brain forever, because there's been moments throughout my childhood, young adulthood, into like that semi era of adulthood when you're like you're 21 but your brain's still like a koala bear, and I have used lies to get myself out of situations that I'm like, I'm going to die if I don't lie right now, or I'm going to hurt someone severely if I don't lie right now. My parents, for example, I have a hard time with them because there are moments when I have lied to them throughout my life and they're like, you're lying. And then when I try and be truthful, then it's like, well, we don't believe you. It's like Peter and the wolf, it's like the boy who cried wolf, like, oh, you lied before. So honesty for me has become this huge thing of being like, well, if someone says there, someone does it,
right,
they're being honest.
Right.
Because I've hardwired my own brain with my own screw ups to be so sensitive to the impact of honesty versus a lie. And here I am, an actor, and I have to lie for money. So when it comes to something like this in the content, I said, and I'll scream out the window, I can't even look at you, but I need you, but I do. I say, there's nothing you can say to make this right again. I mean it. But what I mean is.
So you took, you're cherry picking lyrics. And when you do this, it makes me a little crazy.
It's the first one I looked at.
You're cherry picking lyrics. Because she says in the song that her stupid pride.
Yes.
So she is so set on being right that she's not willing to hear anything else. And she's right, and she wants him to tell her she's right and apologize and not have any other side of this, which sometimes when you are angry, you are irrational. This is a wider you. I'm not talking about you.
I understand.
And you're like, I just want you to see what I'm telling you and to say, yes, you are right, and here is how I will make it up to you, and I'm going to show up with flowers after this fight, and I'm going to make it okay, and I'm going to make you not mad. And sometimes you just are so convinced you are so right that you can't see the forest through the trees and understand that the other person has a perspective at all. And you've got your friends being like, yeah, he's terrible. Don't answer that call. Like, and so I think you're missing the point where she's like, my pride got in the way. I was so dead set on being right, but I'm looking at it now and I'm like, oh, I just wanted you to tell me what I wanted to hear at that moment.
There's this great comedy sketch I just watched that was, we said no Christmas present this year. It's the boyfriend, girlfriend. They're like, we said no Christmas gifts. We both agreed no Christmas gifts. Christmas Day comes. They've opened up all the gifts from everybody else. They have like the mother-in-law on the phone. And it's like, all right, we'll see you later. It's like, well, isn't there something else? What? Where's my gift? Honey, we said no gifts this year. And it becomes this whole ordeal of she's saying, I thought like, it was a joke. You're going to get me a gift. And the mom gets involved on the phone. The roommate wants to move out of the apartment because he can't live with a guy who's making his girlfriend cry because he didn't get her a Christmas gift. The selfish person, the neighbor, everyone's the fire department. Till finally he's like, yeah, I was joking. Here's the gift. He had a wrapped gift. And then she's like, thank you so much. And he's like, so do I have a gift? No, we said no gifts this year. That's the irrationality I see with something like this, where I understand you want someone to look beyond one person's pride or to look beyond what's just being said. Look at the whole of the situation, not just the heat of the moment, the fire that's burning right in front of you, but the logs that are on the pit. Look at that relationship. You got to look at the actual issues, not just the problem that's happening right now. Uh-huh. And that's when you have to be like, you know what? Let's cooler heads prevail. I'm very sorry. Here's the flowers. Let's talk about this. Like, let's talk about this now, but let's talk about this again tomorrow. Like, let's go deeper. I understand, like, the need for that in every relationship. But when it's so hot and fiery and you just sometimes you need to take a person's word for what their word is, get out, leave. Yeah, okay, I'm leaving. Don't leave. You told me that. I know what I said. It's hard. It's hard. It can be confusing. I have a koala brain. Some men, most men, have a koala brain.
Yeah, no, I think women spend their 20s learning this. If you don't exactly say what you want, you're not going to get it.
What is a koala brain?
So koalas have the best life, even though they all have, like 87% of koala bears have syphilis, if it's not 100%. They eat eucalyptus leaves, which their body has learned to digest because it's not an easy leaf to eat. But essentially, with its real lack of a lot of nutrients and the chemical makeup of it is very much like a medicinal downer. They have a very happy life of not having to worry about predators, living where they eat, and just having a syphilis brain. That there's no real wrinkles on a koala's brain. It's a very smooth brain. They don't have a lot of need for critical thinking. It's just, yeah, man, I'm living. I'm existing. I think they're for a koala, except you scratch out the I think. They just koala. So sometimes, especially when it comes to the female perspective, men have a koala brain. Definitely. We don't have that critical thinking bit with some of this. Other times, yep. Albert Einstein.
I think you, okay. Right. Hit pause there. I think that you are actually missing the point of this song.
Probably. Like you said, koala brain.
Yes. I don't know if you want to start off talking about how it's because of, so, anyway. Anyway, she said she knows he's gone. Like, he's gone. Mm-hmm. This is her fault. Her foolish pride got in the way. This is what she wanted. He didn't know that. It didn't happen. Now they're not together. Like, she's looking at this as like, this is what I wanted, but it didn't happen. I don't necessarily think she's mad at him that it didn't happen. I think she's just like, I said the wrong thing. My pride got in the way. Mm-hmm. I think you're, when you cherry pick out lyrics that you're going to fixate on, you know, like when we got stuck on Isis for Isis? Months, you're missing the bigger part of the song.
Okay. I did sit through this. I did listen with you. I'm not trying to cherry pick, but let's look at the end of the song. Let's look at the last section of the song. With your face and the beautiful eyes and the conversation with the little white lies and the faded picture of a beautiful night, you carried me from your car up the stairs. And I broke down crying. Was she worth this mess? After everything in that little black dress, after everything, I must confess, I need you. I understand.
This is from her.
So I'm wondering, I want your take on this. The third to last line. So, and I broke down crying. Was she worth this mess? Is she thinking about this version of Taylor from her past? Is it somebody else?
I don't know.
That's why I'm asking your opinion.
I don't know Taylor. I have never sat down and had a conversation with her. I was like, hey, what, with this line, what were you thinking?
Jason and I know that you are the closest totem to the lexicon that is Taylor. So that's why I'm asking your opinion.
I'm saying that she gets to the end of the song, which is a, this outro is actually one of a fan favorites. Like, we love this outro because it paints the picture of like, it's all faded. Like, it's over. Mm-hmm. And like, what was I worth it? Was I worth the mess that I put you through? The chaos, the crazy. I think she's pretty honest about the fact that she's prideful and a little crazy and unrealistic. And she knows she's working through it. But what I think you're forgetting or you're maybe not picking up on is that she is 19, learning how to fight in a relationship. And she's going through this. And you don't kind of become an adult, meet the love of your life, and automatically know how to have this picture-perfect relationship. You have to learn how to fight. You have to learn how to express yourself.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to communicate. And that's what she's saying here. And these are the lessons that she's learning. And she's putting her lessons that she's learned into her albums that everybody else is kind of going through with her.
And this is why I'm glad we have these conversations, Kate.
Because you immediately cherry-picked a Taylor's Crazy.
No, I was immediately, I went in with my perspective. I said, these are the three things that stuck out to me. We have this conversation. That's what's supposed to be.
I know.
All right. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, she's being honest about learning some life lessons, and like, these are hard lessons to learn. But unlike in the movies, the guy's not going to show up with a boombox over his head in the rain.
Yeah, man. One, it's expensive and hard to find a boombox nowadays. Two, you don't want to get it damaged in the rain.
Well, that's why you bring a Bluetooth speaker. But anyway,
it could actually be one of her boyfriends holding up a scarf over his head.
We're not there yet. The scarf comes two albums from there.
That was a great rake of Jake Gyllenhaal right there, buddy. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal should be breathing a little easier because another album will be coming out eventually with a re-record. Somebody else is going to get skewered. Probably John Mayer. Wait till we get into that one, guys. All right. So I think, what do we think of the song? Is it a shake? Is it an off? Is it a skip?
I think it's a nice pop song. And if it's her getting ready to roll into the pop genre. It's not a bad track, but it's not a favorite of mine.
It's a Swift Avenue heartache.
God. All right. So on that note, maybe let's think about what we're going to do next week.
All right. And this is how the Sam Bennett think, the not so swift Sam. I have to roll a dice, and these dice will help us choose the album and help us choose the song.
All right, 1 through 9.
1 through 9. 9.
Evermore.
We're going back to Adult Taylor.
Adult Taylor.
Maybe Sam can relate to Adult Taylor more because
you haven't yet.
Can't think like a girl in her late teens.
You know.
4.
'Tis the damn season.
Ooh, we're still on a holiday kick? 'Tis the damn season?
We are in a holiday season. You know, Blake Lively posted on her Betty Fizz. Her
what now?
Blake Lively has a brand of mixers that she's making because, you know, Ryan's got the gin. Blake's got the mixers. It's called Betty Fizz. And she posted a very Taylor-styled photo, and it says, Fizz the damn season. Yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't give that away as a Christmas present. I only give away scotch and tequila.
Much appreciated.
Which we're very excited about. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you very much. Love you, Dad. I think that the Taylor Swift mania has gone too far if Blake Lively is poaching a Taylor Swift-esque photo to pitch mixers for her husband's gin.
No, it's her mixer line.
Yeah.
It's not for the gin. You can use it for anything. It's not all about her husband, all right? Blake's got her own things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw her holding that bottle of Malibu. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so thanks for listening to the Swift Talk. I'm Kate.
I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not so Swift Sam. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to recommend it to your friends, your neighbor, your teachers, your pastor, whoever you find on the street. We're on all of the podcast downloadable areas, Spotify,
Apple,
mm-hmm.
Google,
mm-hmm.
Podcaster, Stitcher, whatever. You can also now rate us on Spotify.
Yeah, please do.
You have to just go to the top, hit 5 stars for us.
And just remember that the ranking for the Swift Talk is different than the ranking for Not So Swift Sam.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting pretty popular. We got a shout out in the Instagram account Peeing in Portsmouth.
That we did.
Yep.
That we did.
It was a moment.
Mm-hmm.
They said you were wrong.
Yeah, as they would. It's yeah. It's always interesting, though. You're trying to figure out what peeing in Portsmouth means when they say you're number one.
They didn't, though. All right. Well, we will be back. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week here on the Swift Talk with 'Tis the Damn Season off Evermore. Going to go back into a little holiday.
Happy Deuce Deuce year, everyone.
Happy 2022.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week.